What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
Man's real, and you found him. And you found him.
Alright, normally we'd start it out with me giving some This Week in Movie News stuff. But I unfortunately don't have anything for it this week. We need to kind of trim the fat anyways. This is going to be a pretty long episode. I've got a lot of facts here, and I think we both have a lot of things we want to talk about.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so sorry about that, but next week I'll do everything I can, I guess, to get some movie news to start the episode off. But let's go ahead and get into those facts if you want to start us off, Kyle.
Yeah. Halloween is a 2007 American slasher film written, directed, and produced by Rob Zombie. The film is a remake of the 1978 horror film of the same name and the ninth installment in the Halloween franchise. Working from Carpenter's advice to make the film his own, Zombie chose to develop the film as both an origin story and a remake, allowing for more original content than simply refilming the same scenes.
I'm glad he chose that route. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it when we get to opinions, but and we've got the back of the case, or the summary, so to speak. From the mind of horror visionary Rob Zombie comes the long-awaited remake to John Carpenter's 1978 masterpiece, Halloween. 9-year-old Michael Myers is raised amidst the chaos of a dysfunctional family at home and severe bullying at school. Having already displayed early signs of disturbing psychopathic tendencies, Michael goes on a ruthless killing spree on Halloween night. The young boy is sent to Smith's Grove Sanitarium and put under the care of child psychologist Dr. Samuel Lewis, played by Malcolm McDowell. Growing increasingly unresponsive to treatment, Michael shuts down for nearly the next 20 years. However, almost two full decades to the day, Michael escapes the confines of Smith's Grove and returns to the town of Haddonfield to finish his Halloween family massacre. Mm. That is a mouthful, and it pretty much gives the entire movie away. But, yeah. But that is the back of the case. So,
yeah, and it's rated R with a runtime of 110 minutes.
The budget and box office for this movie, with a $15 million budget, it grossed $80.4 million. Worldwide, so a decent size box office, especially with such a low budget like that. $15 million not being low to us, obviously, but
yeah.
The movie was filmed in the same California neighborhood as the original 1978 film.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. Also, the movie's production was delayed due to the death of, I'm about to butcher this name, I apologize. Mustafa Akkad, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
A-K-K-A-D. Who's the original producer of all of the 8 previous movies. He died from severe injuries as a result from the terrorist attacks on Jordan in 2005.
Damn.
So that movie production was delayed due to that, understandably. So
yeah.
I'm surprised it even continued, to be honest. But on a little bit lighter of a note, Zombie's intention was to reinvent Michael Myers because he felt the character, along with Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, and Pinhead, had become more familiar to audiences, and as a result, they were less scary.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Excuse me. Tyler Mane, who plays the adult Michael Myers, stated that it was very difficult to act only with his eyes. After being informed that he would play Michael, he noted that he consecutively watched 7 of the 8 Halloween films, excluding the third, because Michael doesn't actually make an appearance, to better understand this character.
Hmm.
So he went full on research mode to get in character for him.
Good shit.
Yeah. back to the box office a little bit. Thanks to opening the opening weekend of $30.5 million, the film broke the box office record for the Labor Day weekend, surpassing the record set in 2005 by Transporter 2 with $20.1 million. It remained the top Labor Day weekend grosser until the release of Shang-Chi and The Legend of Ten Rings, which came out this year.
Damn.
Right?
Okay. So, that's pretty sick.
Like I said, I've got a good amount of facts. We're getting through them. So I apologize for being the one to talk here a bunch. If you have anything you want to add, just pipe in, I guess. Before deciding to go with Rob Zombie's version, the studio was about to greenlight Halloween: The Missing Years, which would have been a prequel set within Michael Myers' early days at the asylum. This is actually something that I really, really want, and we talked about on the original Halloween movie. If you remember, mm-hmm. when we did the review, we talked about how it would be really cool to get a movie just of what happened when he was in the asylum.
Yeah.
So that would have been cool, but I'm very happy Rob Zombie version came out. Could we get him to do The Missing Years?
Yeah.
That would be nice, right? Another thing, I wanted to bring this up because it goes to show how much Rob Zombie really puts into his creations. Zombie cast his wife, Sherry Moon Zombie, because he wanted a tall actress to play Michael's mother, which would explain why he grew so tall.
Wow.
So, oh, like, this, go. Yeah, the attention to detail that I don't really think others would put into it. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
But let's be honest, that's something Rob Zombie does. He puts his wife in all his movies. Like, that's his hidden Easter egg.
He does, but he specifically wanted her for that reasoning, so people would put, like, okay, she pretty tall mother, so that explains why he's humongous.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't have this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, so we're talking about now. He is the tallest actor to play Michael Myers. He's 6'8".
Oh, shit.
So, he's a big dude. The movie that Lori is watching while babysitting Tommy and Lindsay in the house is Haunted Hill from 1959, starring Vincent Price.
Hmm.
Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, that's the fucking full circle.
Right. I wanted to bring it up because if you remember, Vincent Price has come up a few times in our reviews. He's the actor who played the lead Prince Prospero in The Mask of the Red Death.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the 6 degrees of two bros alive here.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we can get into opinions. One thing I wanted to bring up, of all the female leads, they're all supposed to be in high school, including Judith Myers. Only the actress playing Lori, which is Scott Taylor Compton, Scout. I guess it's Scout. Mm. Scout. The girl playing Lori was actually a teenager at the filming. Much like how Jamie Lee Curtis, who played Lori in the original Halloween, was the only girl who was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Danielle, I can't say names. Danielle Harris was 29 years old when she was cast as the teenage Annie Brackett. Nancy Loomis was also 29 when she played Annie in the original.
Do you think that's coincidence, or do you think Rob Zombie actually did the work?
That is possible, that it could literally be the reason why she was cast, but either or, it's...
That's awesome. I love the fact that they did that.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring it up, too. It's just, it's like some weird information, but it's pretty cool, so... That's all I have for facts. I ran through that quick, because like I said, this is going to be a longer episode, but... Yeah. I think I provided a good amount of facts about this tremendous movie.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, the only fact that I really had was the fact that Rob Zombie, that I can remember off the top of my head, that Rob Zombie cast his wife in all his movies. She's even in the second one.
Well, okay, before we even get to opinions, I didn't know that he remade a second one
mm-hmm.
until doing research, and or I think Eric has actually watched this. He's like, do you know he made a second one?
Yeah, the second
one. So, I need to watch that.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
It's good.
Okay.
I think I have that, too. I'm pretty sure I have that, because like it's been stated before, this is my number one movie, so...
Yeah. I didn't know he made it, too. So, that's awesome. I mean, without... spoiling it for me, is it like this one? Does it keep it similar and true to the original Halloween 2, or is it completely?
It's Rob Zombie's version of it. It's Michael Myers going after Laurie, pretty much. Like, and then
like how he in this movie he put his own thing on it, but he also kept true to like the original Halloween.
Yes.
Whereas some people would have did a complete remake, and it would have he do the same thing in Halloween too?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because like I think it said like the Factory Arena is John Carpenter. No, is what I read. John Carpenter told him like, hey, like, you know, make it yours kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's awesome that John Carpenter told him that instead of just saying like, look, don't butcher it. Like, he just was like, make it yours. You know, do what you want with it. And I think that's why I like this movie so much, is because it like it's different. Maybe I just it's newer, so that's why I liked it more. But it's just. I don't know.
We'll get into it. Yeah. Back to John Carpenter and how he signed off on it or whatever. Rob Zombie, like you said, went to him first to make sure he would. Well, I found out, I don't know if his opinion ever changed or not, but Carpenter wasn't really too pleased with the movie it was released. He was one of the critics. But
it's unfortunate. You should listen to our episode from last week to see what we think about John Carpenter's new movie.
It's not John Carpenter. He didn't have anything to do. He was the executive producer, but he wasn't the writer or anything. Yes, yeah. I knew you misunderstood that. Yeah, John Carpenter did not have anything to do other with than just being executive producer on Halloween Kills. Oh. That was completely made by other people. Actually, Carpenter hasn't had anything to do with them since, I want to say 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was 2. Because 3 is the one that they don't show him. They don't show Michael Myers, right?
Yeah, 3 is the season of the witch. They know Michael Myers in that at all. But anyways, that's that. Oh, yeah, and we're not doing housekeeping. If we mess up something, we won't be messing up facts. We'll only mess up, like, opinion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing housekeeping. I already have a lot that I have to do. And
yeah,
people, if you want housekeeping, tell you what, head over to our Instagram, 2 Pros and a Review. Give us some housekeeping, and I'll mention it on the next podcast. But housekeeping for us, like we doing it, I'm not doing it.
No, honestly, I don't think we should ever have to do housekeeping for our opinions, because that's what they are, is opinions.
Right.
You know, if we miss up on a fact, yeah, that could be probably brought up at the beginning, but like.
But that we're not messing up on facts, because
it's research, so.
So, no, if I mess up on something that is like that, I'll bring it up. But as far as just having a housekeeping segment, we did away with it, and I was going to originally put it on its own podcast for the month or whatever. I've decided against that altogether, which I think you agree with.
I agree. I feel like it's too much for one podcast. Like we should literally have our own other podcast called Housekeeping for 2 Pros and a Review. But I'm not putting that on us either. So.
That's what the fans, the listeners, they can be our housekeepers.
Yeah.
How about that? That's what you're called. That's what our fans are called, the housekeepers.
Yeah. Start a Discord and chat about it.
Horror housekeepers. There we go.
Yeah. Get it on Reddit. Get us on Reddit. Talk about us. But yeah, so that's it for facts. Are you ready to get into those opinions?
Absolutely.
Sounds good to me.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
Okay, so this is our podcast. I said it a few times. So our opinions are the ones that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to start the segment off by reading another critic's opinion. Give me your immediate response, okay? He doesn't know what I'm about to say. He didn't. If he found this on his own, that's different. But I just want your immediate response, like react, okay? Rob Zombie doesn't want to bring many new ideas to the table in Halloween, making another bloody disappointment for fans of the franchise, said by someone in Rotten Tomatoes.
That's it? That's like...
Let me emphasize just a couple things real quick. Rob Zombie doesn't bring many new ideas to the table in Halloween, making another bloody disappointment for the fans of the franchise.
Well, my immediate response to that would be like, you're a fucking idiot. You must not have watched the movie, because... What? It's all fucking new. I mean, there obviously it's the same thing, but like all the other Halloweens never told you like went into detail about like why he did what he did, like, or there was any sign, you know. It was just like, oh yeah, this kid just snapped, okay. But Rob Zombie was like, hey, no, this is why he snapped, because his stepdad was an asshole. He was bullied at school, you know, like.
Right.
I mean, obviously nowadays, like, everybody, like, has to deal with all that. But it's, I mean, then too, like, people always had to deal with that and they didn't turn to killing people. But that just goes to show you that, like...
Ooh, back to that, too.
The evil is within certain people more than it is others.
Right. But like you said, all the other Halloweens, like, it's Michael Myers killing. Never really gives any backstory. Never really gives any character development whatsoever. It's Michael Myers and all of them. This one starts off first fucking 30 minutes giving that backstory that us real fans needed.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever this is doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, and it just made me mad, so I wanted to include it, and I wanted to see if you had the same feeling to start off our opinion section. So didn't give a name, because if it would have, I would have blasted it. Just Rotten Tomatoes. It's a writer for Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So the coward couldn't even put his name.
Yeah.
All right. Got that off my chest, so let's get into the opinions, our own opinions now.
Yeah.
What you got?
I mean, shit, like, where do we start with our opinions? Like, you know?
Oh, okay, well, here. This is an opinion. I just said it's a mention. So the clown mask that young Michael had, I had one like that when I was a child, if not the exact same one. I reached out to my mom and asked her if she still had the picture. So she's going to be looking for it. Hopefully she still has it. And if she does, we can post it on the IG.
Yeah.
But when I saw that mask, I remember when I originally watched before, I had the same thought. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I have it tattooed on my arm.
You have that mask tattooed?
Yeah. I have the clown, I have his actual face, and I have a tombstone.
I didn't know you had that clown mask.
Yeah. I'll post it on the Instagram.
Well, that's not the same clown mask that he wore in the original Halloween, though, is it?
No, it's different in the original. I have the original
mask. Oh, okay. Well, I had that one.
No.
I think it was the exact same one. I might be wrong, but...
All right. Shit, they just painted my face when I was... I think they had me as a hobo, but it looked like a clown. But I did see that picture recently, like, oh my god.
Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit, so I guess I'll just start it off. I loved the psychological profile that they build up in the opening scenes. Like, it gives Michael, like, a serial killer background.
Yes.
And it adds, like, depth to his character, like I already said. The family problems, like you said, child abuse, being bullied, the animal cruelty, these are all, like, supposed signs of a serial killer. They just needed to add... bedwetting and the enjoyment of burning shit, and then they would have had a full cocktail, serial killer cocktail.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, Rosalind is probably like, oh, that might be a little too much for this. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that the kid they had play him was terrific.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm glad that I seen this movie before I seen that kid in, I think it was Hitchcock with Will Smith. That's the kid that he throws in the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is Hitchcock the one where he's a superhero?
Yeah.
Yeah, the drunk superhero, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid's, like, annoying him outside of his house, and he throws him in the ear. That's the same kid that plays Michael Myers.
Okay.
But I think that kid literally is, like, was, like, the perfect person they could have picked. I don't know how people go about finding these, but I just think, like, that kid, like...
Yeah, he definitely was a very good fit. There's no other way to put it. He was...
I would say that I think that... There might be one or two people that I didn't care for as cast in this movie.
Really?
But for the most part, I feel like everybody was good.
Who?
Like,
just curious.
That I didn't care for?
Yeah,
who? I'm just saying, I don't, like, I'm trying to think about
it. Oh, okay.
I'd say the cop's daughter, I didn't care for her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know, she just...
Annie is the cop's daughter, right? There's Linda and there's Annie. Annie is...
Yes, Annie is the cop's daughter.
Okay. Now, if you remember our original review, I absolutely hated Annie. I even specifically said, like, I couldn't wait until this bitch dies. I didn't have that feeling in this.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much emphasis put on their characters. Like,
it
didn't spend so much time showing them being annoying teenagers or whatever. Plus they were a lot hotter, so that might have something to do with...
She was hot.
All of the women in this movie were hot.
Yes. I would say that, maybe that's what it is. So she was hot to me all the way until she was being pulled away. When he was like dragging her and her tits were scraping on the ground or whatever, and she was screaming, it just like the only thing she actually reached for was the carpet. Like, why didn't you reach for everything else? I don't know. It just like
no, you were really looking at that or watching, weren't you?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's because I already knew what was going to happen, so it was just kind of like, okay, pay more attention to detail in this one.
Gotcha.
But like, I don't know. I think one of my favorite characters, besides like obviously like the main characters, is the trucker.
Oh yeah, I knew I should have got his name, but I knew it was going to be brought up. Yeah. But I can't remember his name.
I can't remember what his movie name was.
Is
it like Cactus Jack or something like that?
That's a wrestler.
Yeah.
No, his name is Big. What is it? Big. Oh shit! I have it here because I do mention him again.
Well, when we get to that, then that'll be our part of our, you know, clearing it up. But
yeah,
I thought
Big Joe Grizzly.
Yeah, Big Joe Grizzly. Yeah. That's what I said. Cactus. I don't know. But I thought that was a very good scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, buddy, I had a Taco Supreme burrito.
Oh, my God. Okay. Finish your statement.
But I just thought that was, like, it was just good, because especially when he opens the door, and any other person that opened that door probably been like, oh, shit. But, like, they showed it in his eye, like where his head was compared to the stall was like, well, he's a big fucker. Now look how big this motherfucker is.
Right, yeah.
And he ain't scared. He's, you know, he obviously didn't do much, but it was just it was just funny.
Okay, so why I lost it when you said the line. We're gonna skip way ahead here real quick.
Alright.
Favorite line. Okay. I don't know if I necessarily say it's my favorite, but it definitely had one that I remember chuckling about, and I have it verbatim here. It's the delivery that makes it, though. So I'm not going to be able to reenact the delivery. But right after he knocks on the bathroom stall, Big Joe the Grizzly says, hey, buddy, just to give you a heads up, I got a Taco Supreme talking back at me, so I'm going to be a while. So do you mind waiting somewhere else and let me pass this beast in peace?
Yeah. That would be my favorite line, too. It stood out. Like, you know, like, and I don't know if he got
the delivery,
much,
like I said. Yeah.
I don't know if he got much credit or if he was cast for any other movies, but people need to pay attention to stuff like that because he could be a good, like, they could make a spinoff of just that truck, you know what I mean? Like, obviously the end of his career would be him dying to Michael Myers, but it's just, I think he nailed it. Like, he was one of my favorite non-important roles. I mean, I guess he was kind of important because he got Michael Myers at the jumpsuit he always
yes good segue into the next thing, but I want to bring it up so real quick. I'm 98% sure he is another one of the Rob Zombie casts. Like, he's been in other Rob Zombie movies.
Oh,
I could be wrong about that, but I'm 98% sure.
I love
he
that
is.
He yes. Rob Zombie's like it's like an Adam Sandler kind of thing, like brings yes. the same kind of people.
Yeah,
because the caretaker for the cemetery is it Captain Spaulding?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Like, dude, as soon as I seen that, I was like, oh, dude, I forgot that they had him in here too. Like, and then there was a couple other people that you got the list.
I've got it. Okay. Well, I don't have the list, but we're coming back to that. Okay. I don't want to skip too far ahead, but but just remember, guys, Kyle brought it up. We're going to circle back to it. Now back to that segue, though, that you set me up for without realizing you were setting me up for it. You mentioned his jumpsuit.
Yeah.
That is another thing that I loved, okay? The introduction of Michael... We'll get to the jumpsuit, but the introduction of Michael Myers' mask, okay? It's not just because the boobs were on screen at the time, but it was a very creative way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The boyfriend, he has it on, he puts it down or whatever, Michael Myers comes in there and he puts that mask on. Whereas, if you remember the original, I believe he stole it from a hardware store or something like that. So, I liked...
Rob Zombie's version?
Yes, I liked the introduction of the mask. And also the introduction to the fucking coveralls. Like you just said, he got the coveralls from killing the trucker or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good... I mean, it's And those are the small details that Rob Zombie cleaned up, that fucker from, what is it, Rotten Tomatoes or whatever?
Exactly.
Like, you obviously don't watch movies, and you're a piece of shit. I hope you listen to this, because I hate fake critics. Like, you can't even put your name on it. Like, my name's Kyle Webb. I'm reviewing this movie.
That's right.
So, holler at your boy.
But, yeah, definitely. The introduction of the mask, introduction of the jumpsuit, those are both key things that... I mean, okay, you can watch the movie and not care about that, or you can watch the movie and be like, well, I would have really liked to know, mm-hmm. like, where did he get the jumpsuit that he's known for fucking wearing?
Yeah, that's his fucking, I mean, like, I forgot to post the figurine on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
But on the figurine, he's wearing the jumpsuit,
yep.
and he's wearing the mask, like.
He didn't just go to the fucking local Sears or whatever and buy that bitch. He stole it from a trucker that he killed.
What's crazy is with that jumpsuit, Rob Zombie could have went so many different ways, but the fact that he did it that way was perfect, because he was making his way home anyways.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Why not stop at a truck stop and kill this big motherfucker?
And when he was a kid, he was going to kill his sister anyways, mm-hmm. so why not grab the mask of the boyfriend that he just killed?
Yeah.
Is that... Okay. So Lori is Michael's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Is... that girl, his sister or his stepsister, or what is that relationship? And the same thing with the dad or the stepdad or the whatever you want to call the drunk piece of shit that mm-hmm. he rightfully tapes up and kills. What is that family? Like,
I mean, they never really go into detail.
Right, with it, but that's one thing they didn't go into detail about.
I assume that it's... Because, like, the one time when he's like, oh, isn't your dad going to hear us? And she, like
that's not my fucking dad, right?
That limp dick piece of shit is not my dad, whatever she says.
Yeah.
Like, so, she's like, my dad's in heaven. So, I'm assuming that her dad is different. I think, it might, like, that guy might be Michael Myers' dad and the baby's dad. Because the baby, Lori, he kept calling her Boo.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that was the only time he was going to talk once he had a mask, was going to go... Boo. But then I thought that'd be fucking hilarious because she's scared out of her fucking mind and all he's saying is boo.
Right. Okay. Did you read that or that? That's a genuine thought, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're talking about when he, later in the movie, when he has Lori captive or whatever.
He's showing her the picture.
And he pulls out the picture. Okay. Yeah. Rob Zombie originally had it written that was going to be the only time he spoke, and he was going to say boo.
Oh, shit.
But he decided that it was not a good look, and I forget exactly how he put it, but he decided to go with just the picture thing. So it's just fucking funny that you
brought it. I mean, I like the fact that he did that and didn't do the boo thing, because that's Michael Myers known for that.
Yeah.
And that's something else. They're like, you haven't spoken in 15 years, Michael. Like, it's like a picture of Dr. Loomis saying it to him, but... You know, that's one thing that I did notice is, you know, they went through that whole interaction and Michael doesn't understand why she doesn't recognize that picture or anything. Mm-hmm. The cop told Loomis why. So Loomis knew that Michael that she didn't know about her past family.
Yeah.
And he never told Michael that. Like, so Michael gets stabbed by her and he's like all pissed off. And it's like, why is my baby sister stabbing me kind of thing. It's like. It kind of goes into detail because it looked like he dropped the knife and got on his knees like that's when he was a kid, that's all he cared about. He didn't care about his older sister and he didn't care about his stepdad. He cared about his mom and the baby. So like, mom's gone.
Yeah.
He takes her fucking tombstone and brings it to the basement.
Yep.
Like, I love that part, but it's just. I like how he leaves all the people in different ways. I like how Rob Zombie had that set up. I thought that was cool. Like, he kills her adopted parents and has them sitting on chairs.
He does?
Yeah. They were because she was crawling away, you know, and he killed when she was dying.
Maybe I'm mixing this up with Halloween Kills.
Well, Halloween Kills, that's another...
I know they posed him in there. So Rob Zombie had Michael pose him. Okay. Did Michael pose him in other Halloween movies?
I don't... You know, that's something we might have to... Like, well, I'll make a post about it on the Instagram. We don't have to do
Halloween. Right.
So that's how we'll do this kind of sometimes.
Yeah, but, if you know
let us know.
Because I want to know if that's the case or not. But
if not, then I feel like the people that did that wrote Halloween Kills was
mimicking zombies
because that's what he did, because he did that, and then remember he kills the girl's boyfriend with the knife and stabs him, and they walk in and he has him hanging with the pumpkin and Annie's laying on the floor. That was the only thing that weirded me out, was the part where he pushes him and like it's like he's playing with him, like I was just like, what's this? But that's Rob Zombie's kind of personality for his movies. Like if you look at all these other movies he makes, they like the killer always toys with his prey, kind of thing.
That goes back to the original statement of he felt like Michael Myers and Freddy and them were not scary anymore. Mm-hmm. What you just said, that gives a little bit element of scary again.
Yeah.
Creepy, scary, however you want to look at it. Morbid.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. Good point. I like it. Oh crap! I had a thought. Another scene that I loved is Dr. Loomis says he is basically going to give up on Michael Myers, and states that you brought this up. States that he hasn't talked in 15 years, which that's giving backstory now to why Michael Myers doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just suddenly become a mute. He's shut down. He stopped talking a long, long ago, and that's why he doesn't talk to this day.
He stopped talking after he killed that girl, that lady.
The nurse, yes.
Which I'll ask real quick, just off subject, or still on subject, because we're talking about the nurse. But why was he eating with a metal fork in an institution? I've never heard of any institutions letting him use a metal fork.
That'd be some incorrect happenings there, but
yeah, it's for.
I don't know. I've never been to an institution, to be perfectly honest. But just from what I know, they don't give you things like that or shoelaces or.
Well, I spent a night in jail for unpaid fines that were paid off, by the way, and they gave us sporks. They didn't have. There was no metal. Like, they didn't take our shoelaces. They took our whole shoes and gave you slip-ons. Like that's just or like I think they're doing Crocs now. That's way after my time. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Meanwhile, a kid who has killed, what, 3 people at that point?
Yeah,
gets a metal fork.
Yeah, so... I mean, I get it.
I bet he didn't after that.
No, yeah. I don't think he ate after that. No, he definitely didn't talk. That's probably why he quit talking. They stopped giving him metal silverware.
There's your backstory. There you go. Yeah. I know.
But, I mean, so what I gather from that scene is whenever Loomis and his mom leave and Michael kills her, when they're like grabbing him and he's like freaking out and shit, what I gather from that is that's when evil took over completely. And he never had his personality ever again. Like, it was...
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Has evil completely taken over at that point? Because he still cares for...
For Boo. Or for Lori. Yeah, sorry, I keep calling her Boo. I think of it as a baby, but...
So, has evil really taken over? Maybe evil takes over when she stabs him. So, every death past that is Lori's fault.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could say that. Well, I mean, at that point, it's betrayal. Because he doesn't know that she doesn't know who he is.
Right.
You know, but it seems like everybody around her knew who Michael Myers was. And somehow she didn't hear about these stories of all this. Like, I don't know. But that's just how movies are. Sometimes you just, you know, they leave you with some questions. And then maybe the second movie cleans it up. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. we mentioned last time, I think I mentioned it. No, I mentioned it off air. Okay, so off air, I said we need to start a kill count.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it for Halloween Kills. Maybe I'll go back and get it. We'll see. Yeah, we already did that review, so I probably won't. But starting this movie right now, I wanted to get a kill count. So I have that kill count, but do you want to do that at the end of our opinions? Or do you want to just hit it now? The way I have it in my notes, it's now, so that's why I'm bringing it up. But we can talk about some other things that we want to talk about first and then get to that, or you just want to get it now?
We can go into it now, because, I mean, like, the kill count, like, you know, that just, that helps add to the, everything, so. I do think it's a good idea to see how many people the serial killer kills in the movie, how many people die in the movie because of the serial killer. Maybe we can, like, kind of keep that mentally note, like, not, like, actually noted, and then, you know, like, maybe.
Oh, I do. I've got it.
Yeah, like, once every, like. Once a month, we'll say who had the most body count, the biggest body count.
I like it.
You know, like, we'll call it, like, you know, body count day or something, like.
I like it. Okay, so, did you count?
I did.
Did you do any research? Do you, what I'm asking is, do you know the answer to the question, how many dead bodies?
I do not.
You do not? Okay, good. Take a guess. I just want to see if you're in the ballpark.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of the mental institution because that's the biggest one, you know, in my head. It is. Like, let's see, it's like 12, maybe.
Try doubling that. There are 23 total deaths in this movie.
Oh, you know what's funny is I stopped counting after the mental institution, okay. So I didn't think about the
Well, from here on out, don't count. Let me do the counting, because I'm the note taker or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to ask you each time, because I just want to see how close you get to it.
Yeah.
23, okay? God. One is a suicide.
Yeah.
And one is killed by other, because the one officer shoots at Michael, but doesn't shoot Michael. She shoots the correctional officer. So I'm counting that as killed by other.
Oh, okay.
But so there's still 23 total. 21 of them are by Michael Myers' hand. That's the way I'm counting it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking of how many Michael killed. I didn't think about it. I never, you know, it's okay. Still all body counts, but
21. Yeah. Michael killed 21. And I've got them right here. So we got, in order, the bully bludgeoned with the shovel in the very beginning.
Oh.
That's his first kill that we see and know of.
Branch. It's not a shovel.
Oh, was it a branch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That's.
But you know what I'm talking about. He beats him to death out in the woods with an object.
Mm-hmm.
It's a branch. Okay. And as far as we know, that is his first human kill. He's killed animals and whatnot. But
yeah, it is his first.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he's killed and we don't know that he's killed, you know, that kind of thing. But it's his first kill.
It's apparent that he's been killing animals and stuff. And he saw the bully. He saw what the bully did to him. And then he saw the bully spit in that kid's beanie and throw it.
Yeah,
like you saw him watching, like Michael Myers as an adult. So it was kind of I like how Zombie did that. Like, yes. I was just like, my man.
I agree. The next one is he slips. I'm gonna say a stepfather. I don't know what the man is, but
his name is Ray. Isn't
the drunk.
It? I think his name's Ray. I'm not sure. Okay, but
his throat gets slit second. The sister's boyfriend is beat with a bat. The sister is then stabbed with a knife. Again, I'm assuming that's a sister, but we'll say sister, stepsister, whatever. Then the nurse is stabbed with the fork. Mother kills herself. There's two male correctional officers that he kills with his hands and chains.
Yeah.
Then there's one male correctional officer that the female officer shoots with a shotgun. So that's the one I'm not giving credit to Michael.
It was happening. Michael was about to kill him.
Right.
And he just. Yeah, but yeah, I get it, yeah.
After that, Michael kills the female correctional officer. I couldn't tell what he used. I'm going with his hands, but I could not. Me and Erica tried to look to see what it was that was in his hand. It looks like he just punches her in her fucking throat.
Oh, yeah, he ripped her throat out, like, legitimately, yeah. Okay.
So I couldn't figure out if he had something in his hand at that point or not. So.
But then again, he did rip his handcuffs off, so that might have been
the edge of it, okay.
But I'm assuming, like, from what, when I watched that, I thought, like, damn, my dude just ripped her fucking throat out. Yeah. Like, there goes her singing career.
After that, off screen, there's a female front desk correctional officer dead. Also, two male correctional officers are found dead. So that's three right there off screen. The janitor gets TV smashed over his head. Lights out.
Like, I was nice to you, Michael. I felt bad for him because he was. He, like, even when the guy called him a retard and stuff, he's like, hey. He's like, leave him alone. Like, you know.
Yeah. He's another one that's a reappearing figure in Zombies. Or reappearing character, I should say. Machete. Good movie. So after the janitor gets smashed with a TV, that's when it goes to Joe Grizzly being stabbed. Big Joe. Bob is strangled and stabbed to the door. That's Linda's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Linda is strangled. Lori's father with a knife throat, which, by the way, holy fuck, he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, he's at the door, he turns around, and then all of a sudden there's fucking Michael with a fucking knife in his throat. After that, Lori's mother's adopted parents.
Yes.
Neck is snapped. Paul is stabbed and hanged.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you said you put the mask on. Annie is off-screen stabbing. It never fully shows her dying.
Yeah, that's true.
So, two officers stabbed after that. And then that's technically where it ends. I only counted those.
Mm-hmm.
There's two more, and we'll get to that. I'm getting to it now. I'm sorry. Dr. Loomis appears to have been killed, right? But knowing the future timeline of at least the traditional Halloween series,
mm-hmm.
he's still alive. Same thing. Michael Myers appears to have been killed by Laurie at the end
mm-hmm.
in that phenomenal scene. But knowing the future timeline, we know Laurie's not dead.
Yep.
So I'm not counting those two as kills. Unless you know something I don't know.
They're not kills. We'll just put that way. I mean, obviously Michael Myers isn't dead. He's dead, but he's not dead. You know what I mean? He's Michael. But Loomis appears in the second one. So.
Okay. I mean, that's traditionally how it was anyways. So that's 21 kills for Mr. Myers.
Yep.
Now we have, just for this month, the three we're reviewing, Jigsaw and...
You mean Saul?
Well, no, I'm saying the names of the killers.
Oh.
I'm saying, so we got Michael Myers, he's got 21. Because I liked your idea of keeping a tally, like who's winning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention Jigsaw is up next. And then the, what's the family name? The House of Thousand Corpses family.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. So we'll see who wins, if they can beat 21 or not.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's what I got for kill count, so.
Okay, well, you said your favorite line,
mm-hmm.
so what
I didn't even ask you what yours was.
That was mine,
too. Same thing.
Okay. What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene? I just said that the final scene was outstanding. I don't know how I just said it, but we're going with outstanding. So the final scene after Michael and Lori have fallen off the balcony, which, by the way, she got injured. That's why it goes from them falling off, like in real life, she got injured. It goes from falling off the balcony to kind of a black screen to the next shot or whatever, because she was like legitimately injured, I guess.
When oh, shit.
She fell off. Yeah. Should have used a stunt double. but anyway, so as they fall off the balcony, pulls the trigger multiple times, but doesn't fire. Okay. Michael grabs her hand and the gun finally fires, causing Lori to scream as the camera focuses and zooms in with the extreme close-up of her mouth covered in blood screaming. The best part, however, is the scene then transitions to Lori as a baby, mouth open screaming
mm-hmm.
from earlier in the movie. I just like how it tied in. In addition, the traditional Halloween music plays with perfect timing in that whole series. And I believe it was only like the second time that he used the traditional Halloween music, which I have no problem with in this movie, like we had a problem with the music used in
it was
Halloween
just,
Kills.
The music in Halloween Kills was just too edgy. The music in this goes with the time. Kind of goes with the time frame that they're trying to go for. Obviously, there's some continuity errors that we talked about off air.
Yep, we'll get to it.
My favorite scene is actually when he's a kid and he kills the bully with the stick.
That's your favorite scene?
I don't know why. I think that's where...
Were you bullied?
No, I wasn't. I was more of a bully, which I never hurt nobody. I was always just like, I've always been a jokester. You know what I mean? So.
I knew you were.
And if I ever did bully you and I didn't take it as me bullying you, I apologize. I didn't think I was bullying. I always thought I was funny, which I know I wasn't, but still, I apologize.
But your favorite scene, what do you like about it?
It's just the fact that, like, the whole build up to that, like the part where he's watching him bully the other kids, so he's like, oh, he's not just bullying me. The part that, like, the kid's, like, walking in the woods and then fucking he comes out of nowhere, like, fucking grand slam gets him, you know, like, and the kid's begging him.
Begging.
Like.
Begging.
That kid was a good actor, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I was just like, damn.
I was like, maybe you shouldn't hit him anymore, Michael.
Yeah. You start feeling, like, that's what you want, though, out of serial killers, especially you're trying to show that he's a psychopath, like Loomis says. You want to feel bad for their victims, so that way you're like, dude, this dude's fucked up, you know, like, looking back at it, it's like, you know, the way he, you know, he killed him, but, you know, that's fucked up. But I was thinking about this when it was happening, when I was watching it last night. I was thinking, like, damn, nobody, like, ever talks about that kid being killed again.
Right. I mean, I guess there's never really an opportunity, but...
Yeah, because he massacres his family afterwards.
Right. But, I mean, there's no need for it.
It was just a setup to show you, like, right. Here's my first kill. Like, that's what I assumed is his first kill because, you know, he killed all these animals and everything. Yeah. And he was lying in wait. He had that fucking clown mask ready.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, that the part where he lifts the mask up and takes the newspaper clipping out of his pocket... And then puts the mask back on to continue, like, hitting him. I thought that was genius. It was just, like, showing, like you know, the mask. And they focused a lot on masks in this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But Michael Myers focused a lot, you know, like, that was his thing. Like,
yeah.
He always said he was ugly. And his mom's like, you're not, baby. You know, like... But I just... The whole build-up to that, and I guess you can call it a climax. Like, it was just, like...
Early in the movie climax. Yeah, all right.
Bully justice, but that's not the way you want to see bully justice. But, you know.
Gotcha.
In that kind of movie, you do.
Yep. Okay, so we share the same favorite scene or favorite lines. And I'm surprised by your pick of favorite scene, but I like it. I like the reasoning. But the reason we like the scenes that we like are very
different.
Yeah. Like mine is like a cinematography. I love how they chose that transition, and you love the reason, like the build up and
yeah,
the reason behind it rather than we just like it because it was gory.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted that noted.
I mean, I, if you look back at it, if you watch how they filmed scenes and stuff, it's a Rob Zombie way of filming and shooting and stuff. And maybe that's why I like this movie so much, because I like Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of points where, like, you know, like, the filming is great. Like, when she falls down into that pool, like, the way that they had her, like, running and she fell and they, like, they switched different angles.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about that scene was her trying to climb out of the pool. As a skateboarder, it's hard for me to see that because it's like, come on, we do this all the time. Like, that's what we do. We climb out of pools. But, I mean, it was also, you know, she was already injured and there was leaves in the pool. And, man, if that thing was emptied, I would have loved to skate it. But I don't even skate bowls, but if you watch the movie, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's definitely skatable. But, yeah, I just thought, like showing her helpless and then, like, Loomis, like, unloading a gun on him. Like, I don't know how many fucking bullets are in that thing, but damn.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought again there for a second. You said the way they filmed and the shots and stuff.
Yeah.
The original Halloween, we talked about it. They were one of, if not the first, to use the Steadicam.
Mm-hmm.
It got overdone, but not in that movie. Didn't get overdone. Just over time,
it's been overdone
or whatever. They use a different type of cam in this. I wish I would have I wish I would have typed this because I can't remember what the name of it is, but very similar to the Steadicam. It gives that motion. If you notice in certain scenes where if you're running, it's not on a tripod. It's not on a fucking glider. It's
actually like a handy cam. Like it's on
right there. That's I can't remember what it's called. I wish I would have had the name for it, but it's basically a new age Steadicam, in my opinion. But yeah. I love that they did that. They used that. It gives a more realistic feel, more believable feel to the audience, in my opinion. So, Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Again, nailed that.
Shit, even the part when... I laughed a little bit when she falls out of the ceiling and stands up. Because it just reminded me of, like, Beetlejuice kind of thing. Like, when she stands up. But I thought that the whole way they did that scene... Like, him watching her go up there, like, damn, I can't reach that. And then he goes and gets a 2x4. Yeah.
That was my second. Like, if I didn't have the last scene, yeah. I was going to choose that one just because the intensity. Mm-hmm. And I felt it. I was like, oh, my God, this bitch is going to fucking...
In my head, I wanted to yell, like, just get on the fucking beam. You know, because, like, if she's...
I don't know if that would even help, but...
Especially that old-ass house, but, you know...
And it just showing his sheer power, just fucking breaking through the walls. And there's Michael. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought I just
that was excellent.
I love the way that they show like this motherfucker is strong. Like you know, like
that's one thing they never gave any backstory. Why is he suddenly so strong?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need that at this point. Maybe later down the road we can get that, but. Since you brought it up, I just wanted to. They never actually gave any reason why he is superhuman. Fucking, you know. But
I feel like it's the evil. Yeah, evil. I feel like it's the evil inside of him. Like you know, like.
Okay.
Like you know how like they say like a mom can lift a car if a baby's in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like evil can you know take okay. over just as well.
Okay. Gotcha. I've said a couple times now, if you remember from our first review, well, I'm going to say it again for a couple bullet points here. If you remember from our first review, we specifically, or I guess I should say I specifically had some issues with a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And Zombie 100% corrected all of these, okay? So the opening scene of 1978 Halloween left Michael standing with a bloody knife as the parents just stood there. If you remember... I went on a rant pretty much about how stupid I thought that was. Like, they're just standing there. Something, I don't know. Yeah. Zombies Halloween builds up to this and has Michael sitting with his baby sister in his arms until his mother comes home instead of the parents just, you know.
Like not freaking out.
Just saying, Michael, yeah. Or whatever the hell they said, I don't know.
They show her freaking out and they show him sitting in the cop car. Yes. And they're doing, like, it's like a news article kind of thing while they're doing it. I thought that was cool. The only thing that I had the issue is when he stabs his quote-unquote sister, because like we said, we're not sure who the older one is to. I think it is his sister, because his mom goes, take your brother trick-or-treating. So, I mean, obviously, it's a brother of some sort.
Right, yeah.
But we don't really care if they're half brothers, step brothers, whatever. They're brother and sister.
Yeah.
So, the only issue. Crap, I just lost my train of thought.
You're talking about the news reporters, or they're making.
Oh, yes. So they said that she was stabbed 17 times. I only seen like 3 or 4.
Oh, you would have liked to see more stabbings.
Yes.
Would you have liked to see Michael go to the kitchen and get several different knives and stab them one at a time?
I mean, that's a good added value, but it actually shows you where he gets his knife from. Like, he pulls up the floorboard and gets his old knife and gets his mask out the floorboard. Like,
smart kid.
They never
been hiding that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Attempted. I don't know. Like, I just think it's, I like Rob Zombie's train of thought in this movie. You know, could he have made his own serial killer movie and made it just as good? Probably.
Well, they came to him for this.
Exactly.
That's so it's not like this is just his own thing. I mean, it is his own thing, but they came to him.
But, like, obviously I'm a fan of Rob Zombie movies. So I,
you and me both.
I like what he does with his movies. I can't say the same about the music, like his music that he makes.
I like his music too.
I've never hated it, but I've never loved it.
I got you.
You know, it was just kind of like that, like,
okay,
right there in between. Like his movies and his choice of people playing in the movies, like every, like from the beginning to the end, I think, like, it'd probably be really hard for me to find a movie I don't like that Rob Zombie made.
I'm with you.
I'd like to see the first movie he ever tried to make, just because I bet it's still good as fuck.
I think it's House of Thousand Corpses.
Oh, well, if that's the case.
I really fucking think House of Thousand Corpses was his first. I mean, I'm not talking like maybe he made something like we did.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I want to see something like that. Like, not mainstream that he made. Like, I want to, like, I would like to find out if there's something that we could see, you know, just because I bet it was good.
Rob Zombie, I know you're listening. Reach out to us on that Instagram, Two Bros in Review. Slide into our DMs and let us know. Is there something that we can watch of yours before you went mainstream, I guess? Because we want to watch it. Plus, I would love to have you call in and get you on, you know.
Yeah. Maybe you could fly to Ohio and join a podcast.
Hey, I can just do it on Zoom. I mean, that'd be awesome too. But all right.
My computer don't work for Zoom. You've got to fly to us.
All right, back to my bullet points here. So the 1978 edition, Michael Myers can drive, and he drives pretty damn well. Another thing that we brought up, I think we both had issue with, but I know I had serious issue with, because he's been locked up for 15, 17 years or whatever. He shouldn't be fucking able to drive. In Zombies Halloween, Michael does not do any driving at all.
No, he puts that shit. He's a foot soldier.
Exactly. Which is what he should be. And it makes sense because, like I said, he's been locked up in a mental institution since he was a child. He's not just going to suddenly get into a fucking Impala and whip it around the corner. It ain't going to work that way.
I know you hear me laughing. I'm laughing because did you see the thing I posted on Instagram the other day? Like what we see and what...
Yes.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious. Like, it just shows like running and shit. Like...
If you don't know what we're talking about,
you gotta join us. Follow us on Instagram, Two Bros and a Review.
Two Bros and a Review. It's free, y'all.
Indeed.
And then I've got one more bullet point of things that we brought up in the first review. Dr. Loomis is much more like dominant, and he tends to bark orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
The local sheriff and police just seem to do whatever he says without question.
Yeah.
And I brought that up. I was like, why the fuck are they listening to this guy? He's just a fucking doctor. He's just telling them what to do. And they're like, oh yeah, let's go do that now. He's not in charge. And I had a problem with that. You agreed with me.
Mm-hmm.
This one, not so much.
Yeah, he had to literally like beg the cop to like... I liked the fact that they did that. You know?
Yes.
Like it gives it more realism. And maybe that's what Zombie was talking about, how people are not scared anymore.
Yep.
You know, like, that right there, just the fact that he's, like, begging the cops. And the cop calls the family, they don't answer, and he goes, fuck, he might be onto something, you know?
Exactly, like, yes. I mean, it provided a little bit more dimension and backstory to Dr. Loomis's character, mm-hmm. and it's more believable, because the doctor's not just going to come out of nowhere and tell the police officers what to fucking do.
Yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
work that way in real life. So... Everything all right? You're over there?
Yeah. No, okay. I was just reading this stuff for the Anchor app that we use.
Oh, yes. If you want to make a podcast just like us.
Yeah. Anchor anchor.fm.
That's all I've got for basically everything. I got some continuity errors, timeline stuff, but we can continue talking about how much we love this movie and continue sucking Rob Zombie's dick, or we can move on. Doesn't matter to me because I loved this movie.
Yeah,
like this was a great choice, and I absolutely see why it is.
Did you?
One
was this your first time seeing it?
No.
Okay, I was.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but no, I've definitely seen this before. I haven't seen two though. I'm watching two as soon as I can.
He has not seen two. I've seen two.
Didn't know two existed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a good movie. If you like one, you'll love two.
I bet it will be. I haven't been let down by Mr. Zombie yet.
No.
31, Lords of Salem, Devil's Rejects, House of Thousand Corpses, all of them, but I haven't seen Halloween 2, so I need to.
Yeah. I'm glad that they let him do a second one. Let's put that way.
The guy, what is his, I don't know his name, the head honcho for Dimension or whatever the production company is, Rob Zombie went on record to say he absolutely hated working with him. And he questioned him every step of the way for this making. And then on the second one, he almost didn't sign on because of it, but he did. And then he questioned everything because they didn't want the second one to be a flop compared to the first one or some shit. Oh, so shit. You brought that up that you're glad they had him do a second one. I, too, obviously am, even I haven't seen it. But I just wanted to bring it up. It almost didn't happen.
So maybe that's why they haven't done a third one.
Maybe.
You know, like, shit, you told me that shit would change for the second one, and it didn't, so... Yeah. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Who owns the rights to Jason and Freddy?
Right?
If Rob Zombie just redid every one of those, that'd be
sick. Yes! What, that's another thing. He actually doesn't like remakes.
Zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stated that he does not like movie remakes. However, the way he does it, to me, isn't a remake.
Yeah.
It's an add-on, almost.
It's a recreation.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Like, yeah.
He's taking the movie, making it better, and adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that would be called, but that's what he should do with every horror movie.
Yeah. And I've been saying this since we started in the podcast and we were talking about horror movies. Freddy vs. Jason. They need to do Michael vs. Jason. And I mean, if, Rob, if you get the chance to do that, give me a call. I've got a good way that it could end. But, yeah, I think somebody needs to do Michael vs. Jason.
You know what I want?
What?
I want, because everybody wants Freddy versus this guy, Jason versus this guy, Michael versus this guy. I want all of them to team up like a fucking super villain team, like a Marvel style, all of the, yeah, Michael, Jason, Freddy, Pinhead, fuck it, throw in Leprechaun, Candyman, just get this big ensemble of all the fucking awesome horror movie leads,
mm-hmm.
and just have a fucking kill fest. Get the kill count for that fucking movie. But that's what I want. Fuck, put them against each other. I just want them a team.
Well, I think it's... But, like, hear me out, though. The Freddy vs. Jason, it ends with Jason cutting Freddy's head off. And walking out of the lake with Freddy's in his head in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddy winks at you. So if they do a Jason versus Michael, then
I gotcha.
Whoever wins that...
I mean, I want to see that too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I would like to see them team also. Yeah.
But yeah, let's... you want to get into the continuity here?
Yeah, I just got a few here. Like we, like I said, we've been sucking around Zombie's dick for 50 minutes. So now it's time to be like, all right, you didn't do everything perfect, but
okay.
Somebody's going to hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and tell me I'm wrong or whatever, but timeline continuity, all right? And if you're not fucking watching this like we watch movies,
mm-hmm.
then you probably aren't even going to notice, and you may not even care, and I don't honestly care either,
yeah.
but I got to point it out because it's my job, kind of, you know? But... The complete time period from the entire movie takes place from 1963 to 1978.
Yeah.
1963 is when he's a child. 1978 is when he is an adult getting his face blown off by Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the first thing, Linda is seen wearing a Slayer shirt when walking home from school with Lori and Annie.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be 1971, if I remember what it said on the screen correctly.
Yeah.
Slayer didn't form until 1981.
Yeah.
So even if that was supposed to be 1978, Slayer still didn't exist yet. She's wearing her shirt.
Yeah.
Not that big of a deal, but it's still an era, people. Two, the Misfits song, Halloween 2. It's playing after Linda and Bob fuck when Linda turns on the radio. That wasn't recorded until 1981 either.
Mm.
Now the Don't Fear the Reaper one,
mm-hmm.
that was playing somewhere around there also.
Yeah, it was right. It was when he went downstairs to get a beer.
Okay. It was on our headphones. Or no. No, the headphones were the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, she changed the radio station to Don't Fear the Reaper. So, but his sister was listening to Don't Fear the Reaper when he kills her boyfriend.
Okay. That came out in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So that could technically fall into the timeline as long as it was before 78.
Yeah.
So that's a toss-up. It was also played in the original, like you said. That specific Blue Orchid Cult. Is that what who sings it? Blue Orchid Cult?
Orchard. I don't know.
Orchard. It's Blue something Cult.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Blue Oyster Cult.
There it is. Blue Oyster Cult. Yes.
I don't know why I had a brain fart, but...
It's all good. I just wanted to make sure we got the name. So, and then there's probably other songs that would be in her time period, but...
But they fit this movie.
They fit the movie, exactly. That's why it's not like a big thing.
Yeah, it's not dubstep.
Exactly. And then the clothing style and some of the vehicles. One vehicle specifically, Sheriff Brackett's 1998 Crown Vic police car.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite match the time period.
Yeah.
But they weren't wearing clothes from the time period really either. Like, just the style of their clothing.
Yeah.
Which... Whatever.
You can blame Rob Zombie for that, but I'm pretty sure they hired a wardrobe person for that.
Yeah, but he has final say.
I know, just kidding.
I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just saying those are little small errors, and it doesn't make or break the movie, but...
They worked for me.
They did. They absolutely did.
They worked for the movie, apparently, because they grossed some good money on that. Up until, what, this year, you said? They had the highest...
highest Labor Day box office until Marvel's Ten Rings movie that came out.
Hmm. Would you look at that? Hey, like that Rotten Tomatoes one?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still on.
Fuck Rotten Tomatoes. I knew you would be. That's why I wanted to start it off with that fucking comment. Get the hell out of here, Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what that even fucking is. All right, let's move on from that and finish it off the right way with the 5 knives rating.
Yeah.
That, if you don't know, new system basically just renamed, but where we both give it a rating from 0 to 5. Oh, that's why I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping. You said in the last it's 1 to 5, but we said that we can give movies a 0. Yes. So it's 0 to 5. Kyle, I will both have 0 to 5. Then we'll add those numbers up, and that will be the 5 knives rating. Okay. So, you want to start it off, or you want me to start it off?
Well, there is not much that I find wrong with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can actually. I'm giving it a 5, because it's my favorite movie of all time. My favorite Halloween movie. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give it 5 bloody stuck-in-corpse knives.
5 bloody stuck-in-corpse knives. Okay, so I was going to try to go off of your rating whenever you went first and try to use the same like metric system, basically.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I completely understand that, because I can tell you I'm going to do the same thing for House of Thousand Corpses.
Yeah.
So I can't really say much bad about this movie.
Beautiful women.
Oh, God.
Nice,
yes.
Breasts. Like a lot of
perfect amount of gore.
Yeah.
I thought the music was phenomenal, like great choices. Even they may not be timeline error or whatever, but or time period correct, I should say.
It's hard not to give it a perfect.
I do want to give it a perfect 5.
This is our first official movie that we've reviewed on season 2 besides a new release. You know what I mean? Like, this is a movie we chose that didn't come out in theaters this week.
Let me tell you what I'm battling here, okay? So, yes, you just heard the review. We loved this movie. I loved this movie. I can't say anything about it, bad about it, really. So I want to give it a 5. But then I think back to the first episode we did of season 2, which was our top 10 of all time. I didn't have this movie in my top 10 at all. And now I'm going to say it's perfect 5. But then, also, we just watched Halloween Kills. And Together, we gave that a 5. This movie is 3, 4, 5 times better than that movie.
Yeah, that's...
So how can I not give it a 5?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with giving it a 5.
But that's the problem. This is the first movie. I know. Now everything else is going to be compared to that. And you're expecting me to not give House of Thousand Corpses a 5?
I didn't say anything.
No, I know. I'm just saying that that's my thought process. It's like, oh man, am I really going to open up? I'm doing it. 5. This is a fucking 10. 10 fucking...
Yeah, we're giving her a perfect score. Rob's on, you hear that.
We went to the kitchen and we got every fucking knife that we had, stuck that bitch in their back, and...
grabbed one out of the drawer and took that, because...
yes. We didn't know. We didn't have any knives left. We put them all in those motherfuckers.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that... Like, I can't say anything bad, so I have to give it a 5. You can't say anything bad. You don't have to give it a 5. You could give it a 4 if you wanted to, but it's like... If you don't give it what you think you need to give it, then how are we going to rate everything after? Because, you know, we can start nitpicking and be like, oh, well, you know, this was wrong, so let's take a point off.
Let me just use the metric system that I use for Halloween Kills then. Mm-hmm. I guess metric is not the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
What did I say? Now, I don't even remember what I said.
It's a horror movie, so...
It's a horror movie, so it automatically gets a point being a horror movie. Everything starts out with a 1.
Mm-hmm.
The gore. I'm giving it a full 1 for the gore.
Mm-hmm.
What did I take? Dialogue. I gave 0 dialogue to Kills. This one's a 1, if not a 2. Mm-hmm. I loved the dialogue in this movie.
It's the back... I mean, that's the whole... That's why I like this movie so much. Because of the backstory and filling in those voids that the other ones couldn't. And I feel bad because I loved, you know, like, that's my fucking favorite movie.
Yeah.
This is my favorite movie, but you know what I mean? Like, the series, the whole fucking...
The franchise.
There you go. So, like...
The cinematography is leaps and bounds above better than Halloween Kills.
It's also... the same idea of your favorite movie. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, Rob Zombie did your favorite movie, Rob Zombie did my favorite movie, so.
It's no matter how I do it, it gets a 5. So if you're listening, guys, and you don't agree with that, I'm sorry, but this is my opinion.
Yeah.
So we're giving this movie 10.
Yeah.
10 bloody knives still in the back of those corpses.
Yeah. So we'll... I mean, you know, we're going to... We should write down, like, why we rate certain things. You know what I mean? Like, how you just, like, named off those things and how you give certain things a point. And then that way, maybe it'll make it easier to do these. I don't know.
Maybe.
But honestly, I just think as long as we stay true to what we're thinking, then I agree. It won't change. Like,
I mean, shit, every movie might be a 10, but...
This month's going to be hard to rate these movies because
these are off of our top. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So next month... That's when you might get them lower numbers or the new releases, because you've seen what Halloween Kills got.
Yeah.
And that was a very gracious 5 that we gave.
It was gracious. So. But that's what I'm saying. Now it's like, okay, Halloween Kills is bottom, Halloween Rob Zombie is top. Like,
I don't know.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
There you go. There's our 5 knives rating.
Yeah, 5 knives. You heard it first.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number 1, you can never have sex.
All right, start this one off. We've got Bedlam House. So when a character is sent to a mental institution, one of two things happen. They're treated or they become worse. A dark, dank, insane asylum straight out of the 18th or 19th century, with doctors performing experiments, nurses abusing their patients, and confinement worse than a maximum security prison will tend to have the latter effect. So we can definitely say that this was for the worse.
Yeah.
At Smith's Grove, Michael is kept chained at all times. His wardens degrade him and insult him on a daily basis, and he's even beaten at night. Someone who is mentally stable would probably become psycho at that point. So that's called the Bedlam House.
Is that the first time that we use that one?
It is. That is the first time that I've brought up that one.
Okay. There you go. You guys got yourself a new trope.
Yes, sir.
You heard me explaining the tropes to De Niro earlier.
Though. I did.
He liked it, though. Because we were talking about Halloween H2O, because he was saying, yeah, Busta Rhymes survived. And I was like, yeah, that's the opposite of a trope.
Yep. That's an anti-trope or a reverse trope. I don't know what to call that.
But. It might be like, you know, a new generation trope. But it was cool, like, to get to explain that to somebody in person. Like,
yeah, right?
I can feel you smirking, too. Like,
yeah, I was. I'm so proud. but yeah, the Bedlam House is a first-timer. I try to do as many first times as possible, but there are sometimes I repeat. For instance, Berserk Button.
Yeah.
We covered that in season one a few times, so I figured why not bring it back. I'll ask you, do you remember what a Berserk Button is?
It's just something that makes them flip the switch pretty much.
Exactly. It's basically something that triggers a character into a fit of rage. Michael is... Michael's Berserk Button would be talking bad about his mother, touching his masks, which we really didn't cover that in our review, but...
Don't touch his mask, yeah, like, and that's why he was like, I was nice to you, Michael, and like, he was, like, you think about it, he was actually just trying to save dude's ass, because, you know, like, he's probably scared too, like,
yeah,
he shows it, like, I'm sorry, I know we're on the tropes part, but when he's trying to put him in the handcuffs, he's like, let's put these handcuffs on you, Michael, and he's like, fucking...
He almost let him, though.
Yeah, he's shit like a dog shitting peach seeds. Like,
but yeah,
shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds, my bad.
Talking bad about his mother, touching his mask. The picture of him and his sister can also be considered a Berserk Button.
Mm-hmm. So. And getting stabbed.
Well, I think that's a Berserk Button for anybody.
Yeah.
another new one for us. Tragic Dream. So when a character has an impossible goal, has been hurt by the world, and or want something that they just can't have. It's not in reach. This is known as a tragic dream trope.
Mm-hmm.
Michael just wants to meet Lori and live happily with her. Get back to his family, basically. Only problem is Michael is a violent sociopath, so...
Yeah, they don't talk.
Right.
He could have just been like, hey, I'm your brother, you know? Like,
but when you kill all of your sister's friends and loved ones.
Yeah, especially in front of her.
That would be a tragic dream.
Yeah.
Start of Darkness. It's said that no one is born evil. Okay. Actually, we kind of talked a little bit about this, so after I read the trope, let's talk about it again. It's said that no one is born evil. Something usually happens to set someone off and down that road of terror, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether this is true or not, it's certainly the case in movies. This trope is called Start of Darkness. The first half hour of this movie is the start of darkness for Michael. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, we were talking, we were talking about when the evil began or whatever.
No, oh, I said it completely took over.
Took over, okay.
Which, obviously, like, you know, he probably had all that time to think, you know, 15 years or 20 years, whatever it was. And, you know, that was the first time he's seen his baby sister all grown up. So, I mean, like... Every person has an inkling of either evil or good in them, so he just had a little bit of good left in him.
a little bit of good, yeah. And she took that from him with the stab.
Yeah,
which that I mean, bitch.
Fuck it. Shit happens.
And then last, I only did 5 this week. I think I might continue to only do 5 because I want interaction on Instagram, and I think the best interaction is going to be if people will point out tropes to us. So I'm going to leave it at 5. Please, if you're listening, get on Instagram, Two Bros Review, and just comment under the picture of
the Halloween that of
the cover art.
Yeah, cover art that we posted.
Or just message us there, whatever. I just want interaction on Instagram. But let us know some tropes that you've seen from this movie. Or ask us, hey, is this a trope? Because it may or may not be. It probably is if you think it is.
Two Bros in a Review. It's on Instagram. You know.
But
get us there.
That's right. We'll get that in a second. I got this last trope. Like I said, I got 5 more, and this is the last one. And this one is a Two Bros custom trope, because I created this. If it's already a trope, I didn't know it, so I'm gonna take credit for it. I'm calling it the Rob Zombie cast trope. And I think you know where I'm going with that, because we talked about it several times. Okay.
Oh, like this, using the same cast?
This is when Rob Zombie creates and casts a movie. He is known to use many of the same people and for good reasoning, really. Mm-hmm. They fit his vision and the role that they play. So I, for one, can never get enough of Sherry Moon Zombie. She can be in every movie, and please should be naked. but others include, and I'm going to butcher his name, and that sucks because RIP, but Sid Haig. That's Captain Spaulding.
Yes.
It, but his real name is Sid, H-A-I-G.
Haig.
Haig. Sid Haig. Okay. I should have just had you say it. But he's in pretty much all the Zombies movies. So is Bill Moseley. He plays one of the officers, in the correctional officers in this movie, I believe. And he plays one of the killers in Devil's Rejects, House of Thousand Corpses.
Oh, okay.
But there's several people that Rob Zombie, when he makes a movie, he casts them again, and he always casts them in perfect roles. So that is the Rob Zombie trope, and that's all I've got for you today.
Hell yeah. Those are good. Like, the tropes are great. Like, it's a teaching moment for everyone. Yeah. You know, like, I just think it's something we do different. There's some podcasts, there's some stuff on YouTube that's just all about tropes.
Really?
Like, because I was looking.
Maybe I should start watching those instead of trying to watch them in the movie and find them myself. It would greatly reduce the amount of time. Yeah. But okay, go on, I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, there's podcasts that do just tropes, there's podcasts that do just reviews. And, like, you know, we do facts, opinions, tropes.
End it off with tropes.
And, you know, and I think that is what separates us from the other podcasts. So if you were listening to our podcast today and trying to ask yourself what we do different, it's that. It's us being genuine. It's, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. I hope listening to these podcasts make you want to come back and listen some more. You know, it only gets better from here. It's one full year of horror movies.
That's right. Whole year. I would say if they've listened this far, they are probably our true listeners that keep coming back. So thank you all. I'll say a thank you right now for continuing to listen to us and support us. We truly appreciate it. Yeah. What is the best way to support us besides listening to us?
Oh, follow us on Instagram?
Yes.
Two Bros in a Review.
We said that a few times.
Go to the Apple Podcasts. Type in Two Brothers in a Review.
Two Brothers in a Review on Apple.
That's right. And then give us that 5 stars and leave a review.
Yes.
You know, you can say whatever you want in the review. Just do it.
Read it on a future podcast.
It's free to do. So
it's free. Absolutely. You know.
And what else is there?
That's all that they need to do. It's 3 free things. Listen, follow us on Instagram, give us a review. Well, the 4th thing is interact, because we really need to build a community by interaction. But it's all free. It's all supporting us, and we truly and greatly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
How many followers were we at last week?
When we restarted the season, we had 92. We were 8 away from 100.
And we've gained 4 new followers. So thank you to our 4 new followers. Yes. Thank you to our other 92 that have been following us. You know, we appreciate that. Once we get to 100, we're going to be doing these live reaction videos. You know, Nathan, tell them what we're going to do when we get to 100 with those live reaction videos.
Well, for the first one, and only the first one, we are going to be eating some sort of food, celery, chicken, something, maybe just dipping a finger into various different hot sauces that I have purchased with high Scoville levels. I'm talking, there's one that's 2 million.
And that's going to be as we're reviewing.
Whatever
movie it is. So
as I'm reading the facts.
Yeah, it's going to be a horror movie.
As we're giving opinions.
So it's going to be a horror movie inside of a horror movie, because I'm going to be fucking dying. But I'm going to do it. And Jordan is joining us. Because I don't care what he says, he agreed to this a while ago.
He did.
So
it's a verbal contract. I'm holding him to it.
Mm-hmm. It's on here. I'm pretty sure he came on to a podcast and agreed to it.
He 100% did. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to be doing that. You can listen to us do it, which I'm sure will be enjoyable, but if we get to 100, the whole reason that we're trying to do this is to do it live on YouTube, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to see us actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Again, it's only for that first one, just to reward you guys for helping us get to 100. After that, we'll continue to do some live reaction reviews so you can see our faces if you would like to look at our faces while we talk about this stuff. And maybe we'll have a chat up and we can actually get people involved if we get to that point. That'd be great.
That'd be really fun to do, like, you know, like a live chat. Like, maybe when we get to, you know, a certain amount of like, followers, we can do, like, a separate night where we go live on YouTube and talk. Just a stop, yeah, like, kind of like, I hate to steal from another podcast that a bunch of my friends watch, but maybe we can do like a stop and chat where we kind of just stop and chat with people about different movies. You know, it's...
That sounds rather enjoyable.
Yeah, so...
We can talk about that.
Yeah.
We gotta get past 100 Instagram followers first.
Yeah, there's only four more. You guys can do that, right? Yeah, you can. Share, you know...
Interact.
Just, let's get some interaction.
Talk to us. Know. Send us some pictures of your own. We got one for Halloween Kills.
That was hilarious.
Give a shout out to Lindsay. She sent me the meme pic, basically, from
and
Halloween Kills. So
we appreciate that. Like, that's kind of the stuff that we're looking to get. You know, we're trying to share and, you know, give props. You know, we shout out different things at the end of the podcast every week. Let us shout you out, you know. On Instagram, you know, I am a firm believer in a follow for a follow. So if somebody follows us, I follow back immediately. Okay. So if you look, we have more we're following more people than that follow us. Was this okay with me? Like, you know, you got to give a little to get a little.
Yeah.
So if you can share and, you know, get us to 100, trust me, you won't be disappointed for that live reaction video or the ones to come. That's Two Bros in Review on Instagram. We post cover art all the time. I've been trying to be a lot more active on it and post other stuff. When we get done recording this one, I'm going to take a picture of the action figure that my boss bought me of Michael Myers, and I'm going to post it. And I might post the picture that you got me a long time ago just because it has all the other horror characters in it, you know? I think that'd be kind of cool for them to see, like,
other stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's out in the hallway. You got it for me a long time ago.
Oh, the picture that I got you. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. It's definitely it's a spooky season that we're in, you know? it's October, but we're celebrating October year-round this year.
365 days. Well...
Yeah,
I guess it's not next there. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Halloween, horror movies, everything we got. You know, that's what we do. Do you want to give some shout outs or?
Let's do it. I believe there's two guys down there in Florida that deserve a shout out, weekly shout out.
Yeah, and glad to hear that he's okay from the car accident he was in.
Yes, absolutely.
Corey, I'm glad that you walked away. You know, you walked away. I know you're probably sore and got some cuts and bruises, but you totaled his car. So, I'm glad you're okay. Tommy.
Where were you at, Tommy?
Yeah. Why didn't you?
You should have stopped that. I'm just playing Tommy.
I know how it is, how people drive in Florida. So, but yeah, TRG Network, those random guys, that's our blood brother, Corey, and our other brother from another mother, Tommy. They do the podcast. And they occasionally have Devin and Eduardo on it. It's a really good YouTube channel. That's what I get the kicks out of, is watching their different videos.
Yeah.
They do gaming. They do shorts. They, you know, get on there and talk on their podcast. They do it all. And it's fucking hilarious. If you haven't found them yet, just type in Those Random Guys or TRG Network on YouTube and just watch any video that they post. It's hilarious.
Well, it's exactly what it sounds. Their title is Those Random Guys. It's Those Random Guys, man. That's talking about randomness, but it's good, entertaining, fun. If you don't have time to watch it, but you're driving in your car, when you're done listening to our podcast, they are on Apple. They never told me if they're on Spotify, but I'm still pretty sure they're on Spotify as well. Mm-hmm. But either or, same thing, Apple, do give them a review and whatnot, listen to them there, watch them on YouTube, dropping a show every Tuesday, I know that for a fact, and then they do the gaming, like you said, they've been doing shorts, they're trying to build a community just like we are, theirs is, has a little bit of a head start, but we love them, so we're constantly going to promote them.
Yeah. And today was my event, King of the Plaza. Nate came out. He filmed a lot. So he gave me all that footage. So I'm going to have to make a little edit. I might put like a little snippet or something. Maybe like a spooky reel, if you will. just because, you know, that's something that we did together. Like you were at my
put
event.
Put some Halloween dubstep music behind it.
No, God, no. I'll put Michael Myers music behind. I'll just put the original Halloween music. Nah, he'd probably get copyright and shit, so.
Instagram, I think you're right.
But yeah, I'll put a little something on there for you for that. It was just King of the Plaza. I just do an event every year at the Skate Plaza in Kettering, Ohio. And it turned out to be a really good one. We had 20 Indian and the real De Niro perform in it. It was pretty cool until the cops showed up. But, you know, that's for another discussion.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to go ahead and ask you about that, let you talk about it a minute. I mentioned it to you. I got Facebook notification, how they give us memories and whatnot. I can't remember what year it was, but it's been a few years. And I posted then how proud I was of you because I came to your event and there was a good showing. But today I was blown away. This place was fucking packed with people. I'm not a skateboarder by no means, but I enjoy watching it and listening to you guys. And it's just a big fucking family. But yeah. So, say it on air. I'm proud of you, Kyle. Keep doing big things. I'm going to continue to support you. So please keep doing it.
Before you finish, I would like to take credit for that, but it's actually the community here in Dayton, Ohio. Our area, the skate community is fucking amazing. Like, skate community in general was good, but here in Dayton, like, you know, like, something goes down, everybody wants to go. Or, you know, we all show up for each other, and that's what I love about our community.
Yeah, I think you're contributing to that a large part, so I'm still gonna give it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't gonna say that another event wouldn't have happened, but that event wouldn't have happened if I didn't start it.
There you go.
Some years ago. I think it's 7 years that I've been doing it. I'm not sure, but I'm going to continue until I can't do it anymore. Until, like, somebody's like, yo, we're not doing that. That's not allowed, you know? Like,
I don't think that's going to happen. But you mentioned putting a little something on our Instagram. Where can they find more exclusive stuff that you may be posting, whether it's skateboarding or snowboarding?
Well, my YouTube for snowboarding is KW Snow. But Instagram, they can find, it's Kyle Webb Films. Like, that's where I post everything. I have one for my skate crew and stuff like that. But, like, you know, you can find it through Kyle Webb Films. I really don't know. I mean, the winter season is coming, so there's going to be a lot more snowboarding stuff posted on there. A lot of snowboarding stuff, a lot of shenanigans. That's going to be KW Snow, so go ahead and follow, you know, hit the like and subscribe button because there's going to be some good content coming up soon.
KW Snow on Instagram?
YouTube,
okay.
Yeah.
Kyle
Webb Films.
That's Instagram.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. And then, what about you?
I too do the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. I need to get back to doing it, but I need your support to do it as well. It's all about support, people. Mm-hmm. High Society Productions, you've heard me mention it before. It's my ugly mug with a High Society hat. If you search it, that's the real one. Click on that. Give me a subscription. Like my videos. You know the deal. Branching off with several other channels in the works. My own channels, but under the High Society Productions umbrella,
mm-hmm.
such as the gameplay channel, High Society Productions gameplay, where we have been doing a lot of Sea of Thieving.
Yeah.
So yeah, go check that out. Subscribe, like, comment. You know all that. That's really all I've got going on.
I think that's really all, you know, there is to say, except for thank you guys for listening to our podcast. You know, like, I don't know if we say it enough, but we appreciate, you know, whether it's one view or 100 views, so we'd rather it be 100, but we appreciate the people that are listening. And I said views, I meant listens, but still. Yep. They viewed it on their phone to listen. But yes, we appreciate everybody that supports us. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, sisters. Everybody. But that's all that I have for them for the night.
That's all I got, too.
All right, and that's going to be it from me, Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother, Nathan Webb.
And you just listened to our podcast,
Two Brothers in a Review,
Season 2. Take it easy.
Don't be sleazy. Let your meat loaf.
Yeah.